You're listening to Agriculture Today. Eric Atkinson here. Right here, we'll fill you in on more particulars on that series of crop insurance workshops that K-State Research and Extension is co-sponsoring starting the week after next. This series of one-day workshops for your crop insurance agents, agricultural lenders, farmers and ranchers, and other financial consultants taking place October the 31st, Brush, Colorado, November the 1st, Grand Island, Nebraska, November the 2nd here in Kansas at Salina, and November the 3rd in Enid, Oklahoma. K-State Risk Management Specialist Art Barnaby has the rundown on the agenda at each.
Policy, that's where we're going to start. Stefan Fredericks is the presenter here. He is, among other things, he works for the insurance industry. That shouldn't surprise anyone. But he has the unique experience of actually being an economist and worked for the Office of Budget and Management, OMB, at one point. This is one of the few people I know that can actually explain to you why losses in crop insurance count in the federal budget, but gains that the government makes when you have an underwriting gain, they get a share of the underwriting gain, they don't count. So he can explain that all to you if you'd really like to know the answer to it. It won't change the outcome, but he does know how that budget system works, which is a real mystery to me. So I think he brings some unique things to the table that we've never had this before at this workshop. I'm really looking forward to what he has to say. Now, after him, we have people that are going to be representing the congressional districts. And for us, that is Congressman Roger Marshall's district and one of his assistants or staffers, as we call them, Rebecca Swinder, will make that presentation, talk about what is the thinking of Mr. Marshall, as long as other folks that they work with in Washington, about how we're going to move forward with this farm bill. If you've been reading anything in the press, all the changes that people want, improvements in ARC, PLC, as well as don't reduce funding to crop insurance, they all cost money, and I think that's going to be the real key, is my bet. Right now, I'm betting most people are kind of happy with what they've got in the way of a program, but they would like to have some minor tweaks. So I don't think there's any real disagreement on what the program looks like. It's how do you fund it, and do you do any improvements in some of these programs that people want? And more importantly, cotton wants a Title I program again, and dairy wants major changes too. So she is the person on the program can take some questions on that and provide much better answers than I can. And so, again, if you're farming or lending, this may be a workshop you'd want to attend too, although I will tell you that most of the people who are there are crop agents.
Right. And you've other topics later on in the program on whole farm revenue protection and the full market outlooks part of this, and you have a presentation as well, Art.
Yeah, the whole farm revenue protection is based off of your income tax returns. It's a relatively new program. It is individual coverage. It's not area coverage. Hasn't been a lot of interest in it in the Great Plains area. Where it's sold mostly has been in the Pacific Northwest, where you're dealing with fruits and vegetables, and they don't grow the same crop every year. They rotate all the time, and so they don't build history of the crop. Where you have a history of the crop, most have not changed for that. In fact, I just saw a report the other day from RMA, close to 85% of the premium is from the individual revenue policy, with roughly 10% coming from YP, which is also an individual guarantee, too. So that's the bulk of the premiums in the program. We'll feed you a great lunch. We should, since we're charging a registration fee. But after lunch, we have grain market and livestock market outlook, and that will vary depending on the state you're in. For us, Dan O'Brien will cover that in Kansas, Oklahoma State University, to do the livestock outlook. And then we get in the afternoon, we're looking at the impact of tax law, and Norm Dahlstead, who's a professor at Colorado State University, is going to do that session, and he'll be at all locations. And I have the final spot on the program talking about the farm bill. And a lot of what I'm going to look at is the impact if any of these cuts that are being proposed come forward. That may force some new changes. Michael Taylor and myself just posted a new paper on the website that looks at the possibility of this income limit being applied to crop insurance, limits to $40,000 in the government share of the premium. You may see a lot of changes if that comes to play. We think, first of all, people will spend their budget. We're not sure they will pay premiums at the full rate. If they have to pay the full premium, I think they'll stop buying at that point. But on the bottom end, they'll spend their budget first on corn, because that's the most expensive. At least that's our thinking. Mm-hmm. Soybeans being second, and the residual will be wheat. That could really shrink the wheat pool if this came into play. That has implications for actuarial soundness, and if you don't sound, then that means you raise the rates. I mean, the rates have to be sufficient to cover losses. That's required by law. So you can see from that agenda that this is nothing to do with how to fill out a crop insurance report. What this really is about is the public policy and the decision-making and the economics of crop insurance, and we think that applies to farmers, lenders, as well as crop agents.
K-State's Art Barnaby. More information on these crop insurance workshops at agmanager.info. Now this week's Kansas Wheat Scoop with Jordan Hildebrand. Jordan?
In remarks made to the American Enterprise Institute on October 19th, Senator Bob Corker, a Republican from Tennessee, stated that he has talked to farmers and that farmers do not care about U.S. in-kind food aid. Ron Supis, a wheat farmer from Dighton, Kansas, said, "I don't know what farmer Senator Corker is talking to, because I can assure you that wheat farmers care a lot about in-kind food aid. In 2016, U.S. government donations of milling wheat reached a level that would be equal to a top 10 export market while helping feed food insecure populations, or were monetized by NGOs to fund local food security projects." Gordon Stoner, a wheat farmer from Outlook, Montana, said, "Senator Corker's call to eliminate in-kind food aid donations in favor of all-cash gifts is an extreme position shared by AEI, a group that regularly attacks farm programs and farmers. In-kind food aid and monetization are still important tools for delivering greater food availability and easing local market price volatility. In fact, one of the goals of the USPL 480 food program is to get food to the places where it is needed the most. Over time, this program has also had beneficial effects for U.S. farmers. The Philippines and Taiwan are countries that once received in-kind food aid from the United States. Today, both markets are major importers of U.S. wheat and other food ingredient commodities." Stoner said, "U.S. Wheat Associates and NOG believe that time-honored U.S. food aid programs have been engines of peace, food security, and local capacity building in countless countries around the world." For Kansas Wheat, I'm Jordan Hildebrand.
Thanks, Jordan, and this is Agriculture Today.